Okay. What Huawei is thinking, which is the ideas that Huawei is putting in place in the data center solution world, I can say. Of course, we will talk about cloud, because we know that all we are going to use the cloud solution, the cloud environment, and the cloud resources. But we will see that, of course, we need to talk about technology, okay? Because the cloud is a service, but this service should play inside some physical, technical stuff, okay? So let's see what means for Huawei to be a full stack cloud solution provider. Next slide. Okay. This is what Huawei thinks about to be a real full stack cloud data center solution provider. Starting from providing all the energy solution that could power our data center and protect our data center with a very important and interesting enhancement on the technology. Just to make you an example, all the battery are lithium battery with a very long life there and the life cycle. And on Huawei is one of the few vendors, maybe there are only two vendors that can assure the support on the battery life cycle for 5 years. Okay, all the other vendors that are maybe well known inside the power market, they can guarantee 1 year only limited warranty on battery. So there are some KPI we will see and some specification that Huawei is very focused on address for each field inside the data center layer. So moving from the energy part, of course, we will have the enterprise level hardware in which resides our intelligence, the computing part, the archiving part, and the data part, and the connection part with the networking portfolio. On top of this, Huawei creates a complete Huawei cloud stack that is open source, is open, all the code are open to use, so without any constraint, without any boundaries on integrating. It's powered by, it's a custom open stack solution.
The slide? You're not exporting the
screen.
Okay, why not? It's something. Which is, okay, let's share. Share screen too. It's okay now? Okay, thank you. So as I told you, Huawei is providing a full software stack on top of the enterprise level hardware powered by also our solution that is based on an open stack custom release that is interoperable, of course, because I came from 17 years of collaborating with Dell and EMC, okay? So when I joined Huawei, I was talking that there was a very close approach to the technology without disclaiming any information. But what I found really is that Huawei is really open. It's really open using open technology. Huawei distribute API for managing all the other that they have. Well, you can see in each country of Huawei, there is a cybersecurity center put in place where you can see the technology, you can open the hardware, you can open the BIOS of the machine, you can see it's open. And so the software stack is based on open source. You will receive the complete SDK for developed solution. It's interoperable 100%, of course. Maybe some vendors, external vendors, competitors will not offer a plugin already built for being in contact with Huawei, but Huawei is offering you the SDK. It's open, So you can easily afford it without any problem. So I cannot mention all the galaxy of the solution, hardware and software that Huawei has in its portfolio, with the antennas, submarine cables, you know, everything. Also, everyone saw in at news in TV during the pandemic that in China were built a hospital in 1 week. All that infrastructure was made by Huawei, because Huawei is also as a business unit that create modular data center and modular buildings. So it's a real end-to-end solution provider. Why Huawei is providing all this stuff of solution? Because we believe that, of course, we could be interoperable for each part of the data center, and it's not needed to be inside all the stack, from the software to the power unit. We are hoping you can use only the computing part, only the storage part, only the software part of the cloud, only the video cameras. You can choose, it's open, it's interoperable. Okay, so which is the practical example of this solution? What we realize, the cloud stack solution today is at version 8.0. It means 12 years ago was born a solution. So it's not just 1 year young. It's a very consolidated solution in which Huawei could replicate the complex solution inside the public cloud stack, inside the customer, creating a public, a private cloud that is already full of the services. Of course, if you don't need to implement all the cloud service stack inside your own data center for private purpose, you can just implement some services, maybe the basic one, and then afford with the extra services when you need outside on the public cloud of Huawei, that is today based in Germany, in France, in Italy, for Europe. Also, of course, we have abroad in other continents. And we together also, because we, as I told you, we offer SDK API to everyone that wants to create. We have several integrators, also very important integrators. We will see an example at the end of this presentation that realize some software platform that resides on the same virtual machine of Huawei's cloud stack that could open also the communication between Huawei on-premise cloud, private cloud, and AWS, Azure cloud. So you could have also a multi-cloud environment keeping Huawei as private cloud stack. This was, you can see by your own on the website, this was realized by Retelit in Italy, that is claiming is multi-cloud. It's based on 100% on Huawei cloud stack for its internal purpose. What it means, what is the content of this Huawei cloud stack? Of course, we saw at the first point, we have the enterprise hardware technology. Then we have the possibility to use the virtualization software from Huawei. It is open source, okay? It's KVM, a custom KVM, like for Nutanix, you know that. It's a fusion compute, but also we are open. You can use VMware, Hyper-V, PowerVM. You choose, it's open platform. Without losing the power of the enterprise infrastructure or the possibility to manage this whole cloud environment with the Huawei cloud services on top. So we can connect Huawei cloud stack with external service provider that they will add some custom application for us, why not? other I don't know, specific project, other vendor, and also, as I told you, third party cloud provider and mainstreamer like AWS or Azure that are the biggest one, also Google in Italy with Telecom Italia is very important, but not only in Italy. How Huawei is capable of on this flexibility in implementing cloud solution and how it's possible to be so interoperable with all the platform, all the virtualization software, all the computing nodes without any problem, any kind of problem, without any concerning about the CPU type. We know that is now there is a really strong fight, not only now, but now it's really hard between AMD and Intel, and someone is just stopping the releasing of ARM CPUs because they don't want to have another competitor in the market. But we don't care about this. We are interoperable, no problem. We can build the service. And this was possible and is possible also today because Huawei built their own infrastructure on a new point of view, a new, let me say, a new technology intelligence that is built inside the solution that permits to be so easy to manage the software, DME that is made by our software, it's Huawei software, but also any other software, could use without any disruption all the components inside the enterprise architecture of Huawei, treating them as resources. The storage spaces, just to see this slide, is seen by the hypervisor or by the services, the storage services from the cloud, as a service. So in same as is at the same level as you can use services, putting together all the services and offering a new database to your customer. At the same level, with the same, it's so easy to put it all together, all the Huawei storage without adding any complex configuration and presenting all the nodes, giving them, of course, some quality of services characteristics. So I can choose that some space is privileged space. Another part of this space is for archiving, but I'm just talking about space. We don't know in which hardware this space will be provided. So you can add component and change component without any issue inside infrastructure. Of course, if you have this kind of technology and this kind of architecture inside your complete cloud stack, this would help you leveraging on the infrastructure to create new services whenever you need without any disruptive migration, any disruptive change of your architecture. You can add pieces of component, let me say hardware component, without any concern if we talk about Huawei. Of course, we are interoperable with component coming from third party, but we can assure you and all the customer that using Huawei technology, you have no problem and any concern anymore. And we offer every customer to test it before to try, before to buy, without any problem. And we don't have one customer, especially in the information part. I like to talk it information because data are information. We don't have one customer that is not happy about Huawei choice. No one in the world. Maybe they were concerned some years ago because there were some spindle disk not available because the ban, because we know that there is an economic contraposition between US and China. But Huawei answered to this, creating full-fledged storage, full NVMe. Chipset are made by Huawei, 100%. So we don't have any problem for providing and selling our storage. We can deliver in 2 weeks all the technology without any problem, because we build the technology. And what we offer is something different. We don't offer the same things, different infrastructure, different intelligence inside infrastructure, and full flash. All full flash, backup full flash. Why backup full flash? So I have to read from my application, it's slow, but when you will need to recover, full flash make the difference, okay? So which are the storage platform? Because we are talking about information. Of course, we cannot differentiate between Intel-based server with other vendors, okay? So we don't talk to you about CPU and server and computing part. Let me say, even if we are we have this seamless integration for all the component, speaking only about the computing part, there is not so huge differentiation as we have for the storage part, as we treat the information. We have three different kind of storage solution. The first one that we call primary storage is the best performer in terms of latency storage in the market today. It's a full NVMe starting from the VMV port, the disk, to the networking switch using ROSI, the protocol. We can afford the same level of performance for as InfiniBand in the HPC, or better if we think only about the backend performance inside the storage. It's confirmed by third party analysis that the latency for the primary storage of Huawei Dorado is 50% less than the main vendor in the market for the storage. Okay. Also, which could be the difference in the backup acceleration platform, in the same way as we know that the market leader is pushing the data protection solution that everyone knows, which is the difference is the hardware was engineered for being the fastest hardware in the market, because all the disk, all the backend is NVMe. And of course, the software will help to save space with compression, the duplication, that everyone knows that on flash drives, compression ratio and the duplication ratio is much more better than on the spindle disk. And also the third family of solution that is a very interesting scale out solution. I like it very much because it's a multi-protocol, a multi-workload system. You can use the same system for your storage area network needs, the same solution for your object services, exporting directly in HTML and S3. The same information could be accessed from different workloads, the same data, the same information, the same disk. You can see it by fiber channel, by SCSI, by file system, by S3, HTML, the same data, the same disk. You can write on it using different protocol. It's a really impressive as capability. Just giving you all some highlight on each system. Already told you about the performance of the primary storage, full flash storage, that are impressive, really impressive. We won several prizes in a specific benchmark for the solution. And this solution is the only solution, real active in the market, where all the controller work all together, and also it could be scaled out with adding other storage. As I told you before, we can mix different storage component inside my my storage area, they act as one storage only, and they share the performance between all the nodes, even if the model are different, even if they are capable of different disk space. Without any problem, you will see just one volume, very big, and they will move data without any problem. We will see at the end that they can also move data to the cloud without any operation from you or from your software. It's crazy, and I like it very much because of this. Finally, I am a technology fan. I work in the storage market for some years. I told you I was in MC since 17 years. It's the first time that I'm excited to talk about this technology. It's really impressive. I like a young boy when I see the first console for gaming. I wish it to have the best console with the best performance. This is my best console that I see since now. It's crazy, really crazy. And we tested it, not only giving, and we will see the storage for making SPC test and the IO500 test. We tested it every time in the customer. We give them, customer, okay, try it. And I will bet you when the storage will be 100% of the utilization. It's fantastic. If you need performance, if you need reliability. Why I told you about reliability? Because, for example, for the backup, I told you about the backup reduction. You know, the flash drive are really strong and powerful for the reduction purpose. So it means that the same appliance for consolidating data, for archiving data, is capable of keeping much more information. And also the triple parity, that is the standard of each storage of Huawei, permit you to lose 3Ds inside the same write group without losing any data inside your data center. So it's really amazing. And also how the backup solution, the data protect solution will offer, when this solution will offer the real power is during the restore. We know that every day there are ransomware attack, not only disaster because I have some water from the roof or energy outage, but also we need to be careful about the external attack from hackers. And if we stop all the right of our system, of our cloud solution, because we are under attack, maybe we need to recover the data at the best time possible. And with Ocean Protect backup solution, you can do it. And also you can imagine that we have every kind of possibility of connection of this storage to the front end. You can choose. You can choose the protocol, the speed, the 100 gigabit, 200 gigabit, 10 gigabit, whatever you want. It's really flexible and open. No special protocol to use. You can attach the system to another networking vendor without any problem. And I told you before about the cybersecurity issue that we are living this time. Then I can tell you that all the storage solution, all the model of the storage that are offered by Huawei are capable of a ransomware detection, because the artificial intelligence that is built inside the chipset of the storage itself. So if there are any suspicion detection of a ransomware attack, the storage will stop to replicate the data. Imagine that we have a campus environment with synchronous replication, then we have a remote replication, asynchronous, and then we have a backup altogether. Inside this loop, the first storage will stop the replication on the campus, without telling you nothing, without telling to the application nothing, then I'm freezing because there is a suspicious ransomware inside. Then automatically you can choose if it could be manually, but by default, automatically the storage restore from the campus the image. You can choose to use it in manual mode, but otherwise it will shift the primary storage automatically and will replace the information since the last consistent snapshot. Okay. So the same if the system on the second side will found that there is a suspicious IO path inside the system, they will block all the write and will ask the backup to restore. So it's really important for Huawei to offer security to the customer. Last example I told you about the flexibility. We start to talk about the cloud. Huawei is offering an infrastructure that is really is an enablement for the cloud solution that you want to use. Even if you are using on top another cloud stack, you can use Huawei infrastructure without any problem. And this is another example that even if I don't have the complete cloud stack on top of the Huawei infrastructure, the single storage could tire automatically data between the internal disk and Amazon storage cloud service. Automatic tiring. You know that for some vendors is still a little bit hard to have a real and performant tiring inside the same chassis between shelf. We are talking about having the tiring between an on-premise storage and a mainstream cloud provider without any manual configuration and manual command that we need to give to the machine. It's a really cloud ready solution. Okay. We already tested on AWS. We are, and I don't know, Mario, we can share the presentation. Those are the links on the website. You can touch, you can see without any problem. And we are still testing. It's Microsoft, it's a little bit close to release some, to admit that there is an interoperability with Huawei, but we are on the roadmap also to release that information on Edge. Just because we have open API without any problem, it's a web service, standard web service. So if the cloud provider will export cloud web services, they will talk each other, no problem. We can do it. Just closing with some information that are, yes, important, but I already told you, Huawei is doing storage since 22 years. Of course, they started in China. It came in Europe later, but it's a real strong and solid solution. It's ranked leader first from Gartner Peer Customer Choice. We can bet those are the links. I just checked it again before the meeting. You can see that Huawei is first in SPC1 rating, 21 million with one Dorado chassis, one chassis, 21 million IOPS. And also ranked third as brand for the IO 500 list. What we just need as Huawei is to tell to the customer this story. Because sometimes I think that Huawei is a really good technology vendor, but sometimes we lack of some information with the customer, with the market. And very often customer didn't know that we have this so complete stack of solution, starting from the services of the cloud to the power supply or the power and the energy solution. And so we just need to tell, and all the most important third party analysis tester can assure that we really have one of the best technology in the world. We need just to tell you, and I thank you. Thank you, Jean, to give me, to Huawei, the possibility to tell you this story. And so it's really appreciated, and thank you. Thank you very much to all. I will leave you, if you have any question that will come later, my email address, you can write to me. And even if you are outside Italy, in Germany, in Spain, whatever you want, I will answer you, and maybe I will address to some colleagues that are in the country base, so they can reach you and continue this discussion with you. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Are there questions for Luca from remote or from the audience? I have a curiosity on the OpenStack solution. Do you integrate also single sign-on web with some solutions that you know that we use in the community? Is it a customization that's possible?
Yeah, of course, yes. We already integrated these for Orange Business Cloud.
Okay.
That I don't know if you all are aware that is Huawei Cloud Services. Rebranded. So yes, the answer is yes. And also, if you have some really custom needs for your cloud, because we are open and we offer you all the support to customize your environment using Huawei Cloud Stack. So some customer moved from a pure open source solution to Huawei Cloud Stack because the support that we can give to the customer for all the stack, from the services to the infrastructure, without leaving the risk to the end customer.
Thank you.
Right. Okay, thank you. My presentation is ended. So
there's the email address of Luca and contact information for, and we will put it on the wiki. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Luca. Right. My glass.
Okay, so we are also very well synchronized with the agenda. Now, I think we have Stevo Palamis, which is connected from remote, and who will present basically the solutions from Dell. And let me.
Hi, everybody. Hope you can hear me. Can you just confirm that you can hear me well?
Yes, we can hear you very well. I think okay, you should have the possibility to share the screen, or unless there is a okay, so just a second, I am visualizing. Just a second, so
take your time. In the meantime, I will enable my camera so that you can
see you
and give a face, yeah, to the person that's talking to you.
What's going on with the projector, because we are just a second. Why are we seeing? So stop trying. Okay, give me a minute. I'm just trying to understand what's going on with the projector here.
I can start presenting my screen so that you can then.
Okay.
You can project it on your projector.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with the screen in the room. Sorry for that. Maybe I'm missing something because I see it here. Sorry?
Remote users see the screen.
Remote users see the screen, but we don't. So that's
you're a magician.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. Why is this happening? Just a second. Okay. Okay. Now we are there. Okay. Yeah. So thanks, Sevo. You can go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for letting me present this event. I apologize for the change of names and presenters that have occurred throughout the last few days, but we have some unforeseen circumstances that required us to change your presenter. So today you are having me. My name is Stevo Pedemis, and I'm a senior system engineer within Dell Technologies, and I cover the storage platforms and solutions portfolio within Dell Technologies. Today I'll be talking and presenting about Dell PowerStore. So let me first start with giving a bit of background behind what's behind PowerStore. Today, organizations believe that data is strategic to the business. Oftentimes, data is the most valuable asset that organizations generate. And having an effective strategy, an effective storage strategy in particular, is critical to creating a competitive advantage within the industry. Companies today are more and more often generating data and selling data or insights based on those data. And as they rush to transform and capitalize on this opportunity, there is a realization that two major forces are putting pressure on IT. One of them is data, because more data today exists. There is block data, there is file data, there is object, containers, et cetera. And it's no longer confined to data centers. It is created, very often processed and stored everywhere. Most frequently, in sometimes also from the edge or also from the cloud. And from a second standpoint, operations. Operations are now requiring and demanding a different approach within the storage strategy of an IT organization. They are expecting them to operate with the same agility and economics that are typical to a public cloud. So the organization must continually goal to address the extending demands of both the data and the businesses. And talking specifically about the storage within the data center, what we are called purpose-built storage arrays, they have evolved over the years to address many of those challenges. One note, I hear a bit of echo. I believe that's my microphone that's going back to the loudspeakers. It's not a problem. It's just that I cannot distinguish between my echo or if
questions. I'm muting.
Okay. So if you have questions, then just please either come raise your hand or wave at the camera. I can see you. Then I will stop. So going back to what I was saying, the fact that their purpose built storage arrays, and they have evolved throughout the years to provide innovative data services and capabilities like advanced replication, backup, unified storage, scale out, adopting new technologies such as flash, storage class memory, and so on, by leveraging data reduction technologies to consolidate a footprint, and more importantly, hybrid cloud features. What is happening is that today, to keep pace with the demands of the data era, the next evolution of the purpose-built storage arrays we'll still need to continue to addressing the requirements coming from data while also focusing on the needs coming from operations. So the infrastructure needs to be modern by being capable of addressing the standard or what used to be and the new, that's the hybrid approach and a flexibility requested by operations. With that being said, this is what we decided to address by revolutionizing and creating from the ground up a new product within our portfolio, which is PowerStore, that is designed for the data era. PowerStore provides our customers and the industry with data-centric, intelligent, and adaptable infrastructure. Within all of these pillars, we have a subsection of slides that, that I will cover. So in regards of data-centric design, that is a design that optimizes system performance, scalability, and storage efficiency to support workloads. Is there a question?
No. I'm sorry. It's fine.
Okay.
Good job.
Okay. To address workloads without compromise. By intelligent, we mean providing automations that allow the infrastructure to be programmable, to be autonomous, and to simplify the management that is required by the evolving needs that I just mentioned in the previous slides. And adaptable. By being adaptable, it's an architecture that enables speed and application mobility, offers flexible deployment models, and provides choice, predictability, and most importantly, investment protection. So let's start with discussing a little bit about the data-centric. By data-centric, we mean that the storage array needs to be capable of addressing any workload. Would it be physical? Would it be virtual? Would it be applications, databases, containers, files, and so on. Being performance optimized means being capable to providing end-to-end NVMe, that's non-volatile memory expressed over the fabric starting from within the array and expanding throughout the fabric and going all the way up to the host. And as a last point, efficiency without compromise, which means that the array is capable of delivering consistent performance when it comes to hardware-assisted data reduction, which we will go into a little bit into deeper detail. So as I said, being capable of addressing any workload mean traditional workloads, meaning modern workloads, which can range from traditional applications and containerized or virtualized applications. PowerStore has an architecture that is built for addressing block, addressing file, addressing VBOS, and as we can see later, in also a hybrid approach with what is the industry-only feature of apps on. That's the name of the new feature. Let's start with discussing how the array is made. The array is made obviously by two redundant nodes that are combined into a single enclosure with up to 24 drive slots that are capable of providing embedded storage. That means that we are compressing and that we are maximizing the usage within the data center. These two nodes put together with the drives within the base enclosure are occupying only two rack units within the data center. What's important to note is that the nodes are built in an active-active high availability manner. That means that both nodes are providing and servicing I/O at the same time by addressing and talking to the backend contemporarily and without wasting performance. The array is capable, as I said in the previous slide, by providing end-to-end NVMe. And by NVMe, we mean leveraging the advantages that the NVMe protocol is providing today. That is a very, very low latency, both within the storage array and throughout the network, expanding all the way up to the host. We are capable of delivering the same performance and expectations by providing either all-flash solid-state drives or storage class memory, which is the evolution of the storage of the solid-state drives. By leveraging a new protocol, a new technology, those drives are capable of delivering extremely low latency, which is important in specific industries or where specific workloads require extremely low latency. With that being said, PowerStore is a very powerful infrastructure that is capable of scaling up and scaling out. That means that customers can easily add capacity and performance independently to the PowerStore cluster. By scaling up, we mean that we are capable of adding expansion enclosures to the base enclosure, thus providing increase of capacity. And by scaling out, we mean that adding multiple controllers, we are capable of clustering to up to 4 appliances. That means 8 active node pairs, by providing a total aggregate of over 14 petabytes of effective capacity after data reduction per cluster. The interesting thing is that in this case, we are capable of putting together different arrays with from different families, so that the right platform is hosting and addressing the right workload. In this case, for example, we are mentioning Oracle workloads, we are mentioning VMware workloads, and ultra high performance with storage class media, together with some high capacity workloads. That being said, you can put together arrays with different characteristics, so that you can cluster them, you can expand and scale out by also providing performance and application segregation. That means putting specific workloads on a specific appliance so that it it can address the specific needs required by that workload. As I mentioned earlier, we are capable of providing NVMe over Fabric. PowerStore provides different ways of addressing the NVMe over Fabric. What is now becoming more and more, according to industry analysts like IDC and Gartner, what is becoming the standard is the NVMe over Ethernet, that is TCP or iSCSI. That is because of the economics of the standard, of because of the ease of managing of the Ethernet approach, and because of the availability and the roadmap of the offering. We have embedded modules that are capable of connecting and transporting NVMe protocol over the TCP over the TCP language and expanding throughout the fabric. What is important to note here is that we are part of the NVMe Express Organization Consortium. That means that we are providing and we are using only standard officially adopted standards defined by the NVMe Express Consortium. And more importantly, we are also developing and helping develop those standards. And with that regard, especially with when Ethernet comes into play, we as Dell Technologies have undertook an initiative and built what is called a centralized discovery controller. Centralized discovery controller is a containerized application that provides a fiber channel-like experience with Ethernet-based NVMe over Fabric, particularly for NVMe over TCP. The centralized discovery controller is called Smart Fabric Storage Software, and it simplifies the discovery, the registration, and provisioning of storage between NVMe TCP connected hosts and subsystems in enterprise environments. It is a software offering that's the first industry automated NVMe end-to-end deployment capability. It's, as I said, containerized application that simplifies and automates the network setup that includes compute and storage. It provides services that are similar to Fibre Channel, to those provided by Fibre Channel, including the discovery service, the endpoint registration service, zoning service, and async and other services like the zoning and asynchronous notification. And this centralized the centralized component, the Smart Fabric Storage Service, provides and helps users by adopting an easy path for transitioning from the Fibre Channel infrastructure to a TCP-based infrastructure. And it provides a valid, much lower cost alternative to Fibre Channel SAN. We cannot also forget the fact that in some cases, customers do prefer to use Fibre Channel. And specifically with those in mind, we are also capable of delivering NVMe over Fabric with Fibre Channel. That, that means within with an embedded Fibre Channel module and with the Fibre Channel SAN that the customers must have. In those cases where the host has a Fibre Channel capable HBAs, we are capable of delivering true NVMe over Fabric end to end. So starting from the last drive of the last expansion enclosure within the array, going all the way up to the Fibre Channel host with the Fibre Channel HBAs. Again, talking about the advanced features of PowerStore, what we have is an always-on data reduction feature. Data reduction that is guaranteed by what is called our future-proof loyalty program. The future-proof loyalty program assures and gives written guarantees, and in this case, we are putting in writing that when the data is not compressed or encrypted at the source, we are providing and committing to delivering 4-to-1 data reduction. That is because we are using inline engines, hardware-assisted system that is provided of providing advanced deduplication and compression. That's because we are using the Intel Quick Assist technology. And allows us to get up to, it allows us to guarantee 4-to-1 data reduction and get to much, much higher values. It obviously depends on the workload that is and the data that are being driven, that are being written on the array. So with all these things kept in mind, we can tell that with PowerStore, we are providing an enterprise storage set of features within a mid-range package. That is because within the industry, PowerStore is considered a mid-range solution, but it has a lot of enterprise features. In this case, we are focusing on three main characteristics. The first one is being non-disruptive. Non-disruptive by having an active data path, which I already mentioned at the beginning. That is that both controllers are capable of providing access to the backend and addressing and servicing I/O with the backend. We have online non-disruptive array-to-array transfers that can be required that can be performed within system downtime and using either native migration tool or application migrations that can be done by leveraging the feature that we will go a little bit deeper later on that's called AppOn. We have expansion enclosure and those can allow us to scale up to 4 petabytes per appliance. And another thing to note is that hardware and software upgrades, which are delivered by code upgrades, they are requiring options and backend activities that are non-impacted to the front end. That means that even throughout the software upgrade, the system is still leveraging, is still servicing I/O without interruption. So it's non-disruptive upgrades. talking about resiliency, all of the components that make PowerStore are redundant. The NVMe port, the NVMe drives are all dual ported. And allow better availability and accessibility to the data. What is called the dynamic resiliency engine, which is the evolution of the RAID technology, is the system is utilizing distributed sparing to maximize the utilization of the SSD drives and the parity rebuilds that happen when a drive fails, which in reality doesn't really fail because nowadays storage, so solid state drives fail very, very rarely. It's the wearing and the usage of the cells that determines the failure of a drive. But that one is done and checked and in a proactive way so that we keep the drives constantly monitored and that we are able to intercept a drive before, long before it fails. And the last point in this slide is the fact that the data on the system is protected. What we have included in PowerStore is an extent-based parity system to handle drive failures. The data is spread across multiple drives, and when a drive has reached its useful lifecycle, data is rebuilt into the spare space that has been kept reserved on the drives within the resiliency set. We have native replication feature, native asynchronous, native metro replication, and that way we are capable of offering both remote protection and as well local protection. And lastly, but not less importantly, we are also integrating with the data protection solutions that are available, including PowerProtect for virtual machine protection, Networker for snapshots, and block protection, and Alomar for file. Talking about the intelligence and that pillar, PowerStore is a programmable infrastructure that enables automation and the streamlining of development environments and automating end-to-end workloads by leveraging external integrations and plugins that that allow this. It is an autonomous appliance that has a built-in machine learning system that is a set of instructions that allows the automation and discovery and optimization of the system resources. The most important, the last point of the intelligent part is that it has a system that's providing proactive health analysis, and we will get a little bit into detail with Cloud IQ, which is an offering that we are using for delivering proactive health analysis throughout the whole portfolio of the Dell Technologies solutions. So as I said, programmable infrastructure. Programmable infrastructure allows us to automate storage provisioning processes by leveraging first point RESTful APIs, which are external connectors that are on the base of all the other connectors. We are then capable of providing Ansible workbooks, Kubernetes with CSI drivers, and an extensive set of integrations with VMware, with the Virtualize Automation, Virtualize Orchestrator, and so on. By integrating PowerStore with these automation services, we are capable of providing a system that allows administrators to provision and to deploy resources within seconds, build automations that are taking away the burden of the provisioning tasks. Talking specifically about containers and the containerized approach, which is what we are seeing today taking place in the industry, is the container storage module. Container storage module is a piece of software that is built on top of the container storage interface, which is the base connector for providing enhanced and advanced data services for Kubernetes, which is becoming the de facto standard for containers. It provides a lot of intelligent data services and automations to Kubernetes that is capable of leveraging what is Array's embedded features such as replication, snapshots, resiliency, and so on. Talking about the intelligence, I said that it is an autonomous appliance. What it means by autonomous appliance, it's perhaps one of the most interesting features that comes with the intelligent pillar. It not only is capable of discovering new appliances when they are added to a cluster, and if you remember when I mentioned earlier the storage fabric services, it's capable of deploying it and adding it to the cluster in a transparent and non-disruptive way. But besides that, it also uses intelligent data placement to allow and improve the system utilizations. That means that we are putting workloads on an appliance within the cluster, and the system knows that that appliance is starting to suffering because of that workload. It will recommend an intelligent placement. So it will say, hey, listen, you have another appliance within the cluster that's underutilized. I'll go one step back into the animation. You have another appliance that is unutilized. So why don't you move this specific workload to that appliance within the cluster so that the resources within the cluster are evenly used? That is one of the features from the autonomous appliance, and it can provide a recommendation, but when allowed to go independently, it will keep monitoring and optimizing efficiency by automatically moving and placing the workloads on the appliances within the cluster. And the last point about the security and productive, proactive health monitoring comes from CloudIQ. CloudIQ is a cloud-based portal. It's free of charge. It's offered and integrates with basically most of the products within our portfolio. It's capable of proactively notifying of storage health issues, cybersecurity issues, and it also provides recommendations and actions about the systems, and talking specifically about storage, it also provides a monitoring of the storage usage and letting you know if the capacity is approaching 100% with recommended solutions. Adaptable. We have said that PowerStore is adaptable, and it's adaptable because it has a flexible architecture, it has flexible deployment options and flexible consumption options. Talking into detail about the flexible deployment, PowerStore utilizes a container-based software architecture that is called PowerStore OS. PowerStore operating system provides all of the capabilities and data services that we said earlier. It is a modular design that allows the flexibility to deploy and upgrade features with a containerized approach. We have purposely developed and built features for PowerStore together with proven applications that are already part of our portfolio, such as, for example, AppSync for snapshots, storage resource monitoring, data protection suite, and so on. Those are all integrated within the PowerStore OS. So PowerStore OS is the operating environment, and as I just explained, it is containerized. It is a containerized system that is deployed within the PowerStore T models. This is where we are seeing the first difference between models. We have the PowerStore T model, and in this case, it is a containerized operating system that's put on top of the hardware. But what if we took the operating system and virtualized it? At the end, if you think about it, being a containerized system, we can put it on top of a hypervisor and run the data services in that way. And that is possible with the PowerStore X modules. With the PowerStore X modules, we are allowing our customers to deploy the PowerStore operating system on top of the appliance by leveraging VMware. You are seeing now a VMware hypervisor on top of the hardware that is running the virtual machine. But having a hypervisor on the array and having PowerStore OS as a virtual machine, why can't we put other virtual machines on top of the same hypervisor? At the end, it is, again, a system that is providing compute power and that is providing storage. This feature, this new and industry unique feature, because that's an offering that we are having as an exclusive at the moment as that technologies, is called Apps On. And with Apps On, we are allowing customers to run applications directly on the appliance. There are specific use cases where this this comes into play and is very, very useful. So let's look at some of that deployment flexibility that I mentioned earlier. When we are talking about PowerStore and the deployment options, the one of the most useful places is the edge. As we said, the data is the most valuable asset that we that the companies are seeing, and most more frequently it is generated at the edge by say IoT sensors or remote offices or branch offices. In this case, PowerStore finds its perfect fit because it's a small footprint. It has two rack units as a space occupation within the data center, within the rack, or within the closet inside a small branch office. Together with running data on the edge, it is also capable of replicating that data and communicating to the core. Therefore, we are extending the usage of the platform from the edge to the core. And at the core, obviously, we can deploy it at as a standard deployment. We can deploy it as a PowerStore X module with the Apps On feature enabled so that we can leverage this and move virtual machines across the infrastructure within the data center. That means that if you are having a hyper-converged infrastructure based on VxRail, for example, and if you are having standard ESXi servers with virtualized environment, thanks to the fact that VMware allows you to use vMotion, you can vMotion those workloads from the servers to the VxRail hyper-converged infrastructure to PowerStore and have them run on the array. This is a very strong agility that enables IT and application owners to quickly and seamlessly deploy and reassign workloads based on their needs and based on the importance and the requirements of the available resources. Talking again about the data center and the use within the data center, PowerStore can be used and can be fit in VMware Cloud Foundation. VMware Cloud Foundation can leverage PowerStore as a supplemental storage, therefore providing external capacity for the VCF workload domains and provide complementary data services for data-intensive applications. In those cases where there is a huge disalignment between the compute power and the storage offered, PowerStore can come as a useful player into the game and be a very, very good fit. Extending more towards the cloud, PowerStore is capable again of providing the reliable infrastructure for being an on-premise solution, but talking with the cloud. For those customers that are using VMware Cloud Foundation, VMware Cloud is a very simple way to create a seamless hybrid cloud environment by leveraging, say, those hyperscalers that you can see here, AWS, Azure, Google Cloud, and other public cloud provider. In addition to this, PowerStore can also provide other cloud integration services that don't require VMware Cloud Foundation. For example, leveraging Faction, which is our offering for a validated and trusted network of partners, we are capable of providing cloud services. Or again, with the cloud tier, it's capable of moving and putting the backup of data on the cloud. I need to rush a little bit because I noticed that I'm running short of time and I still have a few slides that I need to present. So for the flexible consumption options, it can be deployed as a standard storage appliance. It can be deployed as part of a converged infrastructure within the VxBlox System 1000. Or you may have heard about it. It's called the Project Alpine, and it's a new approach that we as Dell Technologies are taking. That means we are virtualizing our products and delivering a virtualized version of this. And PowerStore, with the fact that it was built and thought as a containerized operating system that can be put on top of a hypervisor, is a perfect fit and can be used as a software-defined version of the hardware offering. When it comes to purchasing options, we have again flexible ways, and that's the another aspect of being flexible. We can provide a standard purchasing. We can provide a custom solution that can transform the approach from a CapEx solution to an OpEx, so with operating expenses. And that is by leveraging our system that is providing a pay-per-use environment with an intuitive dashboard and automated systems for the delivery, the provisioning, and the obtaining of storage and other resources. There is one last important piece of the offering that is backed up by our future-proof loyalty program that is called Anytime Upgrade. With the Anytime Upgrade, we are capable of delivering to the customer at the time of purchase a guarantee that they will be capable of upgrading to the next generation models. For example, we have just announced a refresh of the platform that will be made available by late July, beginning of August. And for those customers that have subscribed on Anytime Upgrade standard, they can move and upgrade to the new systems. Or with those customers that have purchased the Anytime Upgrade Select system, they can either upgrade to the next generation or to a higher model or scale out by adding a new appliance. This is part, as I said, of the future-proof loyalty program, and is a system that and it's a feature that can be enabled anytime in throughout the program without the need to purchase additional software coverage or additional warranty coverage. That means that if you have purchased a three-year warranty product and you have selected Anytime Upgrade, anytime throughout the 3 years, you can say, okay, now I want to switch to a higher model. You will be shipped a new array to your data center. You will be given the opportunity to move to the new array, and that new array will expire at the end of your initial 3 year of warranty. In that case, if you want, you can extend the warranty, or then you can just say, okay, thank you, or go ahead and purchase a new system. The last point of the future-proof loyalty program is the seamless migration that we are offering throughout our portfolio. Given the fact that we have a very strong customer base and that we have a lot of arrays of different generations that are installed throughout the through our customer set, we are giving a system that's capable of migrating the data towards the new system in an intuitive way and more and more often in a non-disruptive way. That means that you're connecting and you're putting into replication the two systems, and the data will be migrated non-disruptively to PowerStore. To recap, future-proof loyalty program is the one that gives and provides the fourth one data reduction guarantee on all the data that is written on the system, with the exclusion of compressed and encrypted data. It gives a 3-year satisfaction guarantee, anytime upgrade program that I just described, and flexible payment solutions. Those are all part of the future-proof loyalty program. And to recap and to close my presentation, this is a slide that covers the three pillars, the three most important sets of features of PowerStore, being a data-centric, an intelligent, and an adaptable architecture. And this closes my presentation.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Stella, for this.
I apologize for running a little bit late over my assigned time and for rushing through some of the slides, but it was impossible to complex it further.
It's totally fine. Thank you. Thank you so much. Are there direct questions for Stella from the audience or from remote? In which case, I have a question related to when you mentioned about programmable infrastructure feature of the solution, and you mentioned Ansible among the, you know, the DevOps team tools. I was wondering if that is a, so at the moment bound to Ansible, or is there any option, you know, that other tool could make it there, like Puppet or similar DevOps tools? Or is it for the moment Ansible only?
At the moment, we have Ansible as one of the main integration modules for the automation and the provisioning throughout the programmable infrastructure. With other systems, we don't have an integration at the moment yet, but there is an important roadmap into this, because we are seeing and acknowledging that customers are going away from the standard interfaces and the standard management modules. So they prefer to use another system that streamlines and automates the provisioning of the infrastructure. So it is in roadmap. Otherwise, there's always RESTful APIs that can be leveraged for integrating and outside of the standard.
All right. Thank you, Stella, for the answer. We will make, if you agree, we will make the presentation available for the people of this group and load it in on our wiki. And there's also a recording of the meeting. And I guess there is contact information from you on the slides, right? If people want to.
Yes, I will send a PDF version of the slides and make sure that my contact is included in the slides so that you can reach out.
Perfect. All right, Stella, thank you. Thank you very much for your presentation, also considering the short notice you had. really appreciate your description of the solutions available.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much. Have a good meeting. Bye-bye.
Bye, Stella. Okay. Well, we have a final quarter of an hour if you resist. right now,
I want to take a look at five chat questions. There might be something in there.
Oh yeah, this is a. I think this is a very good thing, but I think
that was in the past, right?
Oh yeah, you're right. Sorry, we missed that, Philippe. I don't know if you're still connected, but sorry for having ignored your question. I might try to route the question forward. Probably to look at, and I think no, there was not even 2:25 p.m. I'll try to get back to Philippe and understand better the context of this question and see if we can address it offline. So now I think I should probably go to the presentation again and basically go back to the discussion points. And I don't think we have time to go through all of them, of course, because it's already half past five almost. But let me see if people. The people from remote can see the screen. So basically, I don't think we have time to discuss everything. I don't think it makes sense now to go through all the points. I would like just to know if you can, if you could give me your impression on what should this SIG focus more on sharing across the different environments, across among sharing with each other, basically. I would like just to, if possible, to close on this note that we are not anymore in a phase where we needed to share vital information for setting up a cloud or even operating a cloud, I think. So how should we get organized internally if we want to exploit any possible synergy on the, as we said in the beginning, on operating and using the cloud, because that should be the focus of the SIG. My question is, does it still make sense to have NREN reporting or like we did today, or shall we move to SIGs that are devoted to select a specific topic, and we can have a dedicated SIG on one topic? Or also, if there's anything else that you feel it might be useful to you to address collectively. And now I just, throw the stone in the middle of the room, and I like to provoke your reactions, your questions about what would be, is this format that we use today, the one we want to keep in future meetings? Or if there is anything else that we should be addressing. The idea would be to try to be useful, and trying to be useful would mean that to know what are your concerns, what are your challenges, what are the topics that are making you more interest in relation to your tasks. That's why I was thinking naively that getting to know what each one of us is doing would be fundamental. But I see that it's kind of more difficult now to get everyone reporting. And so I was wondering what your feelings are. And on this note, I think we should also decide and leave the floor to the discussion. Also, throw any other burning question you have, because we still have a few minutes to discuss other topics if you prefer. And I would like to know, when do you think we should reconvene? That is also up to the audience. Anybody willing to break the ice?
To begin with, I don't think you need to overanalyze where we are right now, given that you had, not now, but had a full room and 12, 15 participants at some point, which were above, not bad at all.
Oh yeah, sure.
And I will wear the mantle here. I was one of the people pseudo chairing the SIG over the two COVID years, and we just let the whole thing lie fallow, which was probably not the wisest thing we could have done, but then I was rather busy with that whole CS3 mesh project, a lot of us were. It's a topic area that's slightly outside of what JOM does, it's a topic area slightly outside of what EGI does, slightly outside of what, so there isn't, it doesn't have a natural contingent of people who need to do this to arrive to progress a particular funded project or a particular. So this is all, there's a lot of volunteering here and a lot of people who look after this topic area because they think it's important for what they're in an oriented the infrastructure provider does. But there isn't, there tends not to be exceptions, notwithstanding, there tends not to be great managerial attention for what needs to happen. But then ignoring it is seems unwise as well. So I think have a bit of cadence. This is the first one. Well, it's the second one after the first online one, but have a bit of cadence, see what happens when we do this 2 or 3 times. See what the people are like, oh, wait a minute, this is my community. I might as well. I think you're being overly hard on yourself. You know, like, I didn't manage to get too many NRENs to commit to presenting. What you did get were the few NRENs who have a very strong cloud portfolio.
Yes.
And so you got those, see what happens. I would just leave this cadence in place 2 or 3 and then see what happens. I wouldn't do that. But I wouldn't right now, unless there's a strong vote from the room or the online people who have a particular, who are hot to trot on a particular topic, I wouldn't right now settle on a particular topic. Just leave a few in place, see what happens, and then somebody goes, hey, now that it seems like a number of, this is bycatch stuff, right? Now that it seems that a number of people seem to have the same itch that I'm trying to scratch locally, we might as well pitch in community. But that's my point of view.
But I mean, the idea of having one, you know, some of the 6 or devoted to specific topics in addition to this general meetings.
Yeah.
That is something.
Oh, it's a great idea.
Okay.
It's a great idea, but I wouldn't pick that particular topic here.
Oh, no.
Not right now. Not right.
No.
So, 15 minutes mark.
Okay. Right. So. Yeah, that's thank you, Guido, for
this to me is not encouraging.
Oh, no,
I think it's interesting for some, it's a sufficient number of people to see how that progresses.
Yeah, sure. No, my comment was more on, you know, revamping, you know, the cloud operator channel and this best practice sharing. Or, as we mentioned with Anna Arling and the others, you know, daily. Accidents or solutions that people have, you know, found on the spot and would like to share it. I see less interested in this bit. And I was wondering.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I was wondering if, you know, it's just because the hype has changed and we're not longer pioneers of the cloud. We are, you know, cloud users of sufficiently mature software solutions. And in this respect, it would be perfectly fine that there is less need to share how I fixed that issue, or how did I manage to get, you know, work around the bug in Keystone or wherever, or integrate Keystone with OpenID Connect or whatever else. But that would be normal, natural, I would say. But I'm wondering then what else would be the sharing that we now need. That this was my, you know, intention to spot out if there are other things that we want to share that are less related to daily operations. Is there any news from the user side? I mean, GRNet, for example, reported that basically now they changed and they have extended the scope of their cloud providing to the users. So I was wondering if other NRENs have similar needs to grow or to include other domains higher education schools or the PA in general, public administration. So that, my question was more about what else or what instead would be worth sharing. Besides, I really think that informing each other what we do is relevant. And I acknowledge that we had 2 NRENs reporting today, but there's many more that could, you know, tell us what they're doing. And my question was more, is there anything else that we might be willing to share, even general concerns or the way to use the streamline line, okay, or other things that even people with like us that would like to hammer and make our hands dirty into the software, the servers that we might want to share. That was my question. We could, I mean, leave it pending. And when do you think we should reconvene? In 2 months' time, something like that.
That's in the middle of the summer holidays.
Yeah,
by all means, pick a location. Logical one is that Modulet.
Okay.
There
is
Iceland,
maybe not so logic, but
and not too hot. Yeah, so Poland is also a good place.
Oh,
maybe not so hot, but not sure if you like it. Anyway, you're always welcome.
And also, shall we aim at trying to co-locate the SIG with another event?
That's why I was saying.
Well, not that, but okay.
Location isn't so great, but isn't that August?
That's August, right? I'm not sure.
So are we speaking August or the, let's say, beginning of September, maybe?
Wherever you co-locate it with that block of time, August, September would make sense. Yeah. And then you send all of these people home with that notion of, you know, scout around with your peers and see what topics are.
Yeah. Okay, well, I would like just to close with this message. The main goal, I think, of this SIG is also to, you know, to help each other, basically, and, you know, understand how we can not work in isolation, but rather inform and help each other about what we're doing in general. So I think let's focus on what you would like to get from the SIG. I bear in mind what Guido mentioned as a carrying on and the seed that the outcomes will come. But also, if you have anything that you think I like to bring home after having attended the SIG, this is, I like to go home after I spent these few hours knowing that it helped me in this, and this respect. Feel free to use the mailing list, or maybe we should structure the discussion a bit more. At the moment, I'm happy to have resume the activities. And we should consider where to meet next. So maybe in order to, how many of you could travel to Northland, for example, to do physically in person?
Ideally, you know, it'd be nice.
Not sure.
That's a whole lot of not sure. It's great.
Iceland's going around the corner.
I know. It's,
but the hybrid meeting somehow did work, right?
Yeah, it worked well. Besides trivial mistakes I did, but yes, it did work well. So I think, yeah, we should keep hybrid, I think, because that really it's an opportunity for everyone to follow. Okay.
Well, thanks for convening.
Yeah, it was
good to be back.
It was my pleasure. Yeah, so I think we can close here. Let's stay in touch. If I, some of the other ends, like for example, Surf didn't manage to present, but he told me we're going to have a chat. So whatever I get from them, I might share on the mailing list. All right.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, guys.